All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, May 26th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we're from DFSR.com, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. You have free for 3 days, just $29.95 a month. You're all set to go for all of your baseball needs. Buddy, we're heading into a Memorial Day weekend. We got a full Friday night of games planned here. We spent a few days talking about my soon-to-be, we think, son, Randy Jason, and how cool this guy is going to be. Are you feeling Randy Jason's the name that I have come up with and my wife absolutely hates already? So you and I had really, really kept our foot on the gas with the hot Randy Jason talk for about
four. Well, Jason was a name that I was pushing for my third son. And I just thought it was a very appropriate homage to the son that never was when you decided to make a hyphen. And by the way, it's not Randy Jason. It would be like if you wanted to say his full name, it would be like Randy Jason Doug Norrie. Randy Jason's a hyphenated first name, or
It's the whole first name. All one name.
Like Billie Jean or Anne Marie, like type of thing.
So we just spent about four straight days doing like a Chuck Norris Most Interesting Man in the World theme. Theme centered around this baby of Randy Jason. And I got to tell you, my wife absolutely loved it.
She was really into it. I think it's going to have staying power.
All right, Friday baseball. pretty interesting night. Going here, a lot of actually really good arms going in, which is funny because it's so funny how these things come in waves. And look, the baseball season's roughly 110,000 days long, so it's going to happen where you get some days where all the pitchers are piled into one spot, and other times like last night where you're kind of saying, "Oh, here we go, hold my nose, and hope that Pomeranz gets there." But mostly with the scratches and kind of just stuff that happened yesterday. But a lot of good arms today. Of the guys that are, I would call the ace-level guys, and that's Scherzer, Archer, DeGrom, and there's a slight drop-off. There's one rather significant drop-off probably to the next guy. Do you think Scherzer is just going to end up being chalk's chalk across the industry today because of the matchup?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, the thing is, on any day, you'd probably be happy to roll with any of the top three guys in particular. So for me, that's Scherzer, DeGrom, or Archer. But today, the matchup just kind of puts him in a league of his own. DeGrom, you know, we were all about him yesterday. I think he does take a little bit of a step back in terms of matchup today. Archer actually has a pretty reasonable matchup, but the Twins have really turned it around against right-handed pitching this year, now up to the fifth highest WOBA in the majors against righties. So, you know, they were a much better matchup against righties last season, or for righties last season. This year they've taken a step back. And meanwhile, the Padres just fully back to their old ones, a sub-300 WOBA against righties, near the top of the league, second in the league right now in terms of strikeouts against righties. So, yeah, they're just an ideal matchup. It doesn't even matter that you get them at a Petco. You just plug Scherzer in. On FanDuel, he's just too cheap also. 11-8 is just, you know, kind of what we're seeing this. We talk about it so many podcasts, but Sale was about a 90% start on this exact price a couple days ago. In a worse matchup, I think you see Scherzer kind of crest up to those numbers again.
Yeah, Scherzer gets the matchup that Grom was supposed to have yesterday before the game gets postponed. Yeah, exactly. So 11-8 for him is, I think you probably see him as 80% plus start. It's not lost on people that the Padres are bad, really, no matter which way you work numbers around in terms of pitching, whether it's what you factor in, like Vegas or opponent teams, WOBA, or whatever it is. I mean, there's you can slice this thing a million ways, and you're going to get Scherzer at the top of almost any kind of modeling you do, even if your model is, you know, bad, kind of. Like, there's just not enough inputs.
Or even if you go by strict points per dollar, like, say you're unaware of the disparity in points per dollar projections for pitchers and hitters, he's still basically at the top. So, like, you just never see that out of the pitcher spot. And, yeah, I mean, even, yeah, like, so a guy like DeGrom, the Pirates, people might even be sucked into him for GPPs, let's say, because the Pirates have been a bottom five team in terms of WOBA against righties, but they're the hardest team to strike out in the majors. Like, it's just, it's almost to the point where, and I rarely say this, it's almost to the point for me where it's hard to imagine playing anyone else, even in my big tournaments on FanDuel.
And I said this yesterday about DeGrom, and I've said it about Sale, and the times where these guys creep into view is the time that cash games, I think, just get even easier because, and I'm just going to almost quote myself from yesterday, is that when every percentage of person that doesn't walk into at least FanDuel lineups, it's a little closer to DraftKings, which we'll get to in a second, but doesn't walk into their FanDuel lineups having Scherzer. Like, let's say he's 85% start, then 15% just covered the rake, and the rake's a little higher, but basically covers the rake on the expected value that you get kind of on your lineups going in, and that's just a great spot to be. And he will not be 100% start, right? Like, there will be 10 to 15% of people who just find a reason to play Archer and DeGrom, both good arms, don't get me wrong. But sure. when you have a situation like this where the money line is like -240 money line against the worst team in the league,
yeah, it's a joke.
And a guy that has strikes at 11.5 Ks per nine, that's it. All your thoughts are over. Now you're just looking at the hitters for cash games, right?
Would have been a lot funnier if you did just quote yourself, by the way, and say like, yeah, I read this great quote that said, you know, when you have a guy like Scherzer, about 10 or 15%, whoever don't play him, that they're paying the rake. You know who said that? Me, baby. I said
me yesterday about the ground. Boom. I think that's pretty much sums up the Scherzer idea here. Now, look, for tournaments, you can get away from him for sure.
One, yeah, you can.
Before we get to tournaments, the other thing is on DraftKings. So on DraftKings, he's significantly more expensive, and you are going to kind of run into a problem. 12-7 for him on DraftKings, where you need to roster another just viable arm. Our system right now, I don't think we're going to spend too much time talking about these guys because I counted no less than like 7 bums coming in into lineups with him when you calculated. It was like, okay.
You're saying they came in because you were like, oops, don't want to play Junior Guerra. Who else is up here? And then just getting like, bum after bum after bum.
Bolsinger? Godley? Okay, hold on a second. Hector Santiago? Hold on a second. I mean, that's what's happening now. So I'm not really like, so worried that that's going to be the case 7 hours from now or whenever lineups really start getting to the point where we need to make some decisions. But the 12-7 price tag on him in such a great matchup is it's going to be really hard to get away from him, and it's going to simultaneously going to be hard to roster lineups with him with any viable bats because he's just so expensive.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's also worth noting. So there's guys like Junior Guerra. I mentioned him before. I'm actually really bullish on Guerra in terms of this price tag. It's absurdly low right now. The problem with Guerra is the pitch count issue. So, you know, he just came out. He actually did start and was pretty good in his first start. Got a ton of Ks. I think he had 5 or 6 Ks in just 3 innings. But he only pitched 3 innings and they pulled him out. So I don't think you can necessarily trust that just yet. I'm just saying, because you'll see Guerra around probably, and I think people are going to kind of be somewhat high on him just based on the free price. Unless I hear that he's going to be able to throw 100 pitches or something, I probably won't go there.
4,800 on DraftKings is insanely low. Like you're
it's just they're
like,
getting him away. Yeah.
Right, that's like you know a good hitter is priced at that.
So he's cheaper than Mookie Betts, who's in the same lineup.
Yeah. If you thought he could get to 5 innings, like if there was any chance of him getting to 5 innings, and like you can get to 5 innings if you run really good on like 90 pitches or something like that. Then I think you can actually probably roster him. Vegas seems to like him. The line opened and then dropped on him, so they opened at like I think like 9.5. He was a slight favorite, and then opened at 9, down to 8.5. He's a slight favorite. 4.1 something ish implied runs for the Diamondbacks, and that is almost kind of good enough for $4,800 for a guy that
he pitched 6 innings a start last season. Like he had 121 innings and 20 starts last year. He can definitely go 5 innings.
So yeah, so Guerra's a guy to take a look at. So of all the guys that I was sort of like Xing at, he's actually the guy that I wouldn't love it, but I could probably live with it in the end. Let's talk about some of these other high price guys who aren't in as good a spot as Scherzer today, but are still just, I mean, fantastic arms. Archer gets to face Minnesota. He's been excellent this year. DeGrom, I mean, how much? We'll start with DeGrom because he's coming off. They scratched him from the start yesterday, and because I'm not sure if it was because of continuing blister issues. The Vegas line on him is pretty low, and I'm wondering if Vegas either hasn't fully adjusted because they're like still not totally positive he's pitching, or if they're just worried about there's some like maybe some lingering issue here because he's. I mean, for a guy like DeGrom to be a -130 favorite against the Pirates right now, like kind of doesn't make total sense to me.
Yeah, I think DeGrom is reasonable. I think it really is that strikeout thing that I mentioned earlier on the Pirates. I think DeGrom's strong suit this season. The Ks have gone up. The Pirates simply don't strike out. The 17% K rate is essentially nothing. And I think that, you know, maybe Vegas keys in on that and maybe sees that this isn't quite as strong a matchup that you might have thought at first. And then I think the other piece is that Chad Kuhl, he's not good by any means, but he's also not as bad as maybe some people think he is. So I think it's a confluence of both of those factors. And the fact that, let's be real, the Mets lineup isn't exactly lighting the world on fire either. So, you know, all that taken together.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. They had some injuries, but guys like Conforto, they got Duda back. I guess Bruce just got hurt. They're not terrible. I hear you, though. It's just not
They're definitely not terrible, but the problem is that, you know, it's just the sum of the parts, right? And I think maybe Vegas could also look at this and wonder, like, will DeGrom get scratched again? Might he only go out there for five innings? I think there's another, you know, with the blister issue that he's dealing with right now. I think there's just kind of a number of little question marks. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised to see that line climb at all. It still does seem low to me. But given that the Pirates' bats aren't terrific, yeah, maybe it just is a little too low.
Archer's the other guy. He starts at -128 up to -143 now. Twins run line drops just a little bit, 3.9. That's really not like so low for a guy like Archer, which is the other reason that he's not kind of jumping to the top here. Also, a team with four implied runs against him, you really need to see him sort of like in that 3.5 or lower range to kind of make at least at these price points. He's been really good, 10.72 strikeouts and 3-ish walks per nine. I think he started off a little bit better to start of the season, and the walks have kind of crept back up to his career averages. I mean, do you see him as having upside in this matchup against Minnesota, especially if you were going to pivot off of Scherzer for, like, tournaments?
Yeah, Archer's definitely kind of a classic high upside but low floor play to me. As I mentioned earlier, the Twins have just been flat-out good against right-handed pitching. The 339 WOBA, almost touching an 800 OPS. Like, that's just a really, really solid team against right-handed pitching. Their strikeout rate, it's not too much to get excited about. It's essentially league average, but that's enough for a pitcher like Archer, because the thing is, while Scherzer's in a terrific spot here, you do baseball long enough, you see a number of guys in terrific spots not get home. And if Scherzer happens to not get home for big tournaments tonight, I don't think it's especially likely. But if it does happen, you're going to be in a spot where you're very, very excited to get away from him. And Archer's the next highest guy for me.
You're going to have to probably pay for pitching. Whenever you have these three guys like this that are just, I don't know, a cut above the rest, it gets hard to believe that you're going to get away with not having one of them. Kind of like this is not to say that you can't have a winning lineup with some of the other guys that exist out here. But these with three guys like this with this kind of strikeout rates, it does stand to reason that you're going to see. I mean, maybe not them finish up in the final top lineups or not, but they're going to be one of these guys is going to exist pretty high up on like the payout structure. You do have a game in Coors today that is not that exciting. I guess we could talk about it a little bit more when we get to the hitters. But usually when you have a game in Coors, you are worried about just kind of how to fit in the prices for that game. I don't see that as being the case today, mostly because the pitchers going in that game are pretty good, and the run line for a Coors game is low across the board. And it's not like they ticked the prices down because the pitching match was good. They just kind of jammed those prices all the way up just to start. And so I don't think you're worried. I think you can. Well, I'm guessing. Long story short, I think you can fade the Coors game today. Any other pitchers that stand out to you here? There are some other guys. Like Alex Wood has been very good. Arrieta, faces the Dodgers. Any of these guys? Tanaka against Oakland, maybe as a starting pitcher too. Any of those guys? If we're going to pay up in the upper middle tier for starting pitcher two, any of those guys interest you?
Well, they do and they don't, you know. So I think Wood and Arrieta kind of suffer from the same problem in my mind. Well, Wood's problem is that he has been very good, but he's not exactly cheap anymore based on his early season success. And he's facing the Cubs, you know. That's never an easy spot. Arrieta, he's kind of actually... I dislike him for different reasons, and that he's taken a little step back this season. The Dodgers do have a number of reasonable left-handed bats. I don't know that I would be excited about either of them necessarily.
He's an underdog too in the game.
What the heck, man? I'm going to pay all that for an underdog? That just seems weird. Tanaka, I think we talked about him at length yesterday because that game got rained out. But Tanaka, he's definitely taken a step back this season. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty just with kind of an unusual career arc for him coming over, and you know, just kind of getting worse every year. So I don't really know what to make of him either. I will say, to Tanaka's credit here, he does have the best matchup with the A's, but it's, again, nothing to get excited about. So starting pitcher two just feels really... It's weird because we almost never recommend doing the star and scrub approach to pitching on DraftKings. Right. Like, can you remember a time where we recommended playing a $12,000 pitcher and a $5,000 pitcher?
Nah, not really.
Nothing springs to mind. Yeah. But there really isn't. When you can't do that, though, then you kind of have to choose two mid-range options because it can be really tough. Like, unless you just get a ton of value hitters at the top of lineups to pay, like $12,600 and $9,400, that's really tough. That leaves you with almost nothing left for your hitters. So
like you almost
I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to shake out now.
You almost wish like Eduardo Rodriguez was like 7,500 instead of 8,700, like something that.
Sure.
Because, or I guess not, I take that back. I'm looking at his FanDuel price anyway. 8,800, right? So if he was like in the 7,500 range, instead of 8,800, then you could probably live with his sort of K upside against the Seattle team, even in Fenway. But this is not the case. We're getting fair pricing on all the guys sort of near the top, And then we even got, like, Mike Clevenger's freaking $8,000 on DraftKings. Like, it's a very weird day to try to think about rostering the second spot. It's probably what I'll spend most of the day thinking about and just making sure that our inputs are just absolutely spot on for every single one of these guys, because I think the edge here is, this is where the edge is going to be, especially in DraftKings, is who people roster in that second spot, and if one of those guys is able to get home.
All right, before we get to some of the stacks that we can talk about today, why don't you hit us up with a sponsor?
Sure, I'd like to hit you up with a sponsor that I used last night, Doug. I'm not just in, they're not just a sponsor of ours, we are also clients of NoHalftime.com. So NoHalftime is a great app where you can go, and you can, it's really actually very clean and advanced now that they've worked on it quite a bit. I opened it up just now, saw that there was a challenge someone had issued, LeBron James v. Kevin Durant for game one of the NBA Finals on June 1st. NBA.com, not a sponsor yet, but maybe if you're listening, this could be you, just saying. but yeah, you go there, you surf through the challenges. It's basically one-on-one daily fantasy sports contests where instead of having a whole roster and salary caps and all that stuff to think about, you just pick a guy mano a mano up against some other guy. If your player outscores their player, you win. If they outscore you, they win. If your challenge doesn't get accepted, no problem. You get your money back. And you can always just go there and see if anyone's offered up any dead money challenges for you. So yeah, go to nohalftime.com, download the app, use promo code DFSR MLB25, and you can get a $25 deposit bonus on your first $25 deposited. And we will see you on there. Just please don't spam the app with a bunch of nonsense challenges no one will accept, because that's a bad move.
Yeah, no, people have gotten pretty good about that on NoHalftime.
That's true. It's just a waste of your time, too.
Yeah,
no, aside from being a party foul.
I had a couple in there last night. Had Springer in there, and yeah, no, I was able to profit a little bit on NoHalftime. Love that app. We also spent a few minutes, just so we paused the podcast real quick, because when we just transitioned to hitters, and we did spend that time not researching necessarily, but you reading me He-Man character names.
And just a
litany of, if you really want to see, it's really something about lack of creativity. But if you want, I know this has nothing to do with baseball, but whatever. if you want wondering how people just kind of got paid like many, many tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars for coming up with names, go look at like the wiki for the He-Man character names. It is like your four-year-old could come up with it just by looking at things and adding man.
Well, if they did, you would have difficulty hiding your disappointment at the stuff that they came up with. Now, most of our audience is probably too young to remember He-Man, but it really is. Just realize that this show was like bigger than Pokemon at the time it was out. Like, it was the biggest show on TV for young boys. And
real quick, before the stacks, you haven't tuned out already, then you want to hear, like, just do a five name example of
so, okay, I'll go ahead.
By the way, the show's called He-Man, just
okay,
to start.
So we'll start with He-Man. Then you've got Goat Man, Beast Man, Merman. I could go on. Dragon Man. Drago Man. So they don't quite go there. Then there's two characters. One is Spiky and one is Stinky. One is called Spikor, the other's called Stinkor. So I could go on. There's a lot of just change in one letter. So Skeleton changes to Skeletor. That's the evil skeleton bad guy.
That's the antagonist.
Yeah, the main guy, right? So like their whole creative dev team came up with He-Man as the main protagonist and Skeletor as the main bad guy.
And
so
it just went from, all right, well, let's talk
from bad to worse. Let's get into stacks.
So we spent a lot of time talking about pitching and the idea that you're going to have to probably pay up for pitching in some respect today, specifically about Scherzer. There are some teams in good spots today. The pricing for Coors, it's funny about that, these pricing algorithms. The Coors pricing is through the roof. And in a game that, like we said before, I think you can generally just kind of fade it just because of the pitching matchups there. But because those prices jumped up, whatever keeps these pricing algorithms making sure that like you have the ability to just still make a lineup like with viable players doesn't seem to have affected some of the other hitters. So while I'm not sure if whatever the pricing algorithms for both sites work to make sure that there's still sort of a median or median pricing across the industry, I wonder how much the Coors thing just kind of makes it so that everyone else sort of stagnates in place. Because
that's a good point. One that I hadn't actually considered before. Because as I'm looking across the board, like the Yankees were coming up in a lot of our lineups, for instance. And then I went and looked at the matchup, and it's like Kendall Graveman, so nothing to get overly excited about, but kind of fine, right? Getting him out of Oakland and into New York should be a step in the right direction for the hitters facing him. But then you look at like Sanchez and Holiday, 33 and 3,200 on FanDuel. Those prices are already sort of too low, and you get a guy with just 6Ks per nine, and you can start thinking about just stacking kind of a ton of Yankees from that lineup, especially. I mean, those are the right-handed bats. You can get into the left-handed bats, and now you're really doing it.
Well, Sanchez is going to be absolute and complete chalk, I would say.
It's insane. What does that even mean? I'm not sure.
This is on FanDuel specifically, but he'll be chalk. I'm not, maybe Holiday not as much. Some of these lefty, I mean, you maybe see Judge show up in some places. Gardner, if he's hitting, should be hitting leadoff tonight. So I think the Yankees are in a great spot. I think they'll be a pretty popular stack. There's three or four teams that are coming in with run lines starting up and over five. I believe the Yankees have the highest. They're a little bit north of 5.4 runs, which is the highest of the day. The other team like that is the Red Sox. Mookie Betts is a guy who is still pretty expensive. I think you're fine just trying to get him into your lineups if you're able to do it, though. I mean, I understand that the pricing on him is ticked up to – it's kind of starting to get out of range, and maybe ends up being sort of the case with the Red Sox. They're slightly better deals on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel. But do you see people kind of stacking them, or do you think like their pricing, they're maybe like 10 to 15% higher than, like, say, the Yankees across the board? Do you think that keeps their ownership a little bit lower?
I think it does. I think Scherzer's going to be such a unanimous play that people do have a little bit of difficulty paying up for teams like the Red Sox. I also think there's just a number of, like the Yankees in particular, they're just so cheap that it's just hard to ignore them. But there's other, you know, there's specific call-outs on the Red Sox I think we can consider tonight. Hanley comes to mind, just 3,400 on FanDuel. If you just think he's a safer or maybe just better play straight up than Holiday, maybe you go in that direction. But I think it is going to be tough to both play Scherzer, which I think is mandatory in cash games, and to pay up for all those Red Sox guys.
The other team that's still coming way too cheap is the Astros, man. This was the case yesterday with Verlander, and we basically ran out cash games of, it was essentially double stacking Boston and Houston last night. And I got that it looked weird for Houston because they had Verlander. Now, Verlander is not the old Verlander, so I think that's becoming increasingly clear. And they had a high run line, but it's still sort of one of those things that people stare at and still transpose this old, and I believe me, I do it too. Like, I didn't love it. Staring at that, this going into cash games, kind of having staring down the barrel of just, you know, 3 to 4 Astros guys. So Verlander's been bad, but the Astros are just also really good. And guys like Springer, 3,600 on FanDuel, that's just 3,400 hitting leadoff for that team. That should just be not an automatic play, but it just seems really easy. If they're going to have 5.4-ish implied runs and he's hitting leadoff at 3,400 and he's just good. Like, he's just not like one of these bum guys that just gets to hit leadoff because their team doesn't understand how to make lineups. That's not the case here. He's just also really good. 3,400, it's just you're not bending over backwards to get the guys in really good spots that are supposed to put up a lot of runs. And the Astros are another one of those teams whose the price hasn't really come around all the way on them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I don't think tonight's going to play out exactly the way last night did, simply because of the high-end guy you're going to go with on the top end. But I think that, yeah, there's a number of teams that we can kind of look to. Another one that actually jumped out for me was Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is not a very good hitting team by any stretch. But I think, this isn't necessarily one of those deep stacks that you want to roll out four guys on necessarily. But Hector Santiago is kind of a different kind of bad that most people don't realize, because he combines both no K rate with a really high fly ball rate. This has been the story throughout his career. He's perennially in the top five in terms of the lowest ground ball percentages in the league. And he's backing up last year's incredible 5.46 XFIP campaign with a 5.5 XFIP campaign this season. I mean, that's about as high, I want to say that's as high as you'll get for a guy who can throw 33 starts in the majors, right? Like, do we ever see numbers higher than that? I really don't think so. And as you can probably imagine, as a lefty, he really struggles against right-handed batters who can do anything at all. And that's why I want to call out one specific guy that I think will be lower owned than he ought to be tonight, and for just small sample size reasons, and that's Evan Longoria. Right now, he's showing up in 100% of our lineups, and it doesn't feel great because Longoria's triple slash this season is absolute garbo. Like, it's just terrible and embarrassing, no question about it.
Which is why he's 2,700 on FanDuel.
It is, but this is one of those cases, and we talk often about how, you know, you don't want to look at the last four or five games, how this early in the season prices can still be inefficient. I don't think you'll see a less efficient price than Longoria at 2,700 against as terrible a lefty as Hector Santiago. This season, Longoria is still 14 strikeouts and 13 walks against left-handed pitching. So about that 1-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is truly, truly elite. Throughout his career, he's been 90 OPS points better against left-handed pitching than right-handed. It's just come down to a simple BABIP issue this year. The BABIP hasn't been there. He's had very, very unlucky on batting average and balls in play. And when that turns, that line is going to turn around, and it's really going to fix that triple slash line, because he's actually taken a quarter of his at-bats against left-handed pitching, and the 178 average are nowhere near sustainable. So I'm actually very bullish on Longoria for your full season leagues too, by the way. That's who cares? But if you happen to play full season leagues, I think he's a very great buy low candidate, and I actually love him tonight.
And the Rays will do, they'll shake up their lineup with Platoon. So you'll see, might see Weeks in the middle of the lineup. You might see Souza in the middle of the lineup. Maybe even Beckham hitting leadoff. So
If you get Beckham at leadoff, I think that's a great spot against a left-handed pitcher. Like he's another guy like Longoria. It's not quite as dramatic, but it's still there. Souza, another great call out. His big bugaboo has always been the strikeouts. Santiago simply doesn't strike anyone out, and you can get Souza's power. I'm licking my chops, Doug. I'm licking them.
Yeah, no, they're 4.7-ish implied runs we have them at. So good, not great, but the pricing on them is great. The pricing is low. And
less compared to the pricing, exactly. Like, that's low, but you're getting all these guys at less than 3,000.
I like them. No, I'm not. I wasn't
arguing. I'm offended.
The other team coming in on the lower end of the pricing scale, that actually this is the highest implied run line I've seen for them all season, is the Phillies are coming in right around 5 implied runs tonight against Tim Adelman. Adelman's a guy we've targeted in the past. They don't get to face him in Great American Ballpark because the game's in Philly, which is fine enough in terms of just power expectation. Adelman is another one of these guys where you just sort of wonder how they continue to hang around the majors. I guess he's struck out some guys this year, but he's got a 5.01 career xFIP, and that's over 101 innings, so it's not like he just has been out there for just a few. He's pretty bad. Philly, they've kind of jostled their lineup around this year. They had Herrera kind of hitting like first or second, and they moved him down to fourth or fifth now, and they moved Michael Saunders all the way down the lineup. I would like it if those guys could kind of creep back up, those lefty bats could kind of creep back up to the top lineup and replace like the Freddie Galvises of the world, but that still might not be the case. But guys, like, if you think their lineup goes something like Hernandez, Galvis, Herrera maybe out there, all these guys are basically under 3,000, and if you can get a team that's expected to put up around 5 runs with no guy being more than like 3,500, that's sort of the same spot as the Rays, right? Like, you're just getting high run expectation at low cost, and on a night where you're staring at Scherzer and you want to roster him, the teams like the Rays and the Phillies are the teams that you are going to help round out your lineups pretty significantly, and so you're not completely bum hunting for the rest of your bats as well. So a lot of good.
And then this actually pumps me up too, because I think a lot of people feel discouraged when they don't see like really good teams in the cash game lineups. This actually gets me excited, because I feel like there's actually more edge tonight than there is on a given night, both with the built-in mistake if you don't play Scherzer, plus people trying to pay the wrong pauper, they just want, that's not even a saying, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. There we go. That's the one I was looking for, because people are going to be like, I don't want to play Phillies and Rays. Well, if I go down from Scherzer to DeGrom, he's still awesome. Like, I was excited to play DeGrom last night. I think there are actually going to be a lot more people that make mistakes than ought to, and edge for days. I'm really excited.
It's really rare that, we'll get out of here after this, but it's really rare this early in the day to see certain name players be in our system. Like, we say 100% of lineups, it means like of all the lineups calculated, they exist in 100% of them, right? So,
So like if we calculate 25, then they're in 25
right.
out of 25.
And so right now, this is 11 a.m. Eastern, we have four guys basically that are already 100% started. Sure, this is Von Fando, Scherzer, Sanchez, Longoria, Springer, and then, well, Gregor Blanco, I'm not sure who he's going to hit leadoff. But, like, just to have that much almost certainty. Now, look, the lineups could change. These teams do these things differently. The Vegas lines move. There's lots of things that can change in the next 8 hours. But to have things sort of be this crystallized this early based on early assumptions is just not something you see a lot. I'm with you. It buoys my sails, let's say, about what is that a good thing? Puts wind in my sails.
Yeah, we're here for similes and metaphors. It's Doug and James, the All Linguistics Podcast.
Both of us basically English majors too in college, which is the other sad thing. All right, we're from DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. If you like typing out more letters, still time to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system. We just added the downloading multiple lineups and be able to mass upload them onto FanDuel and DraftKings. So that's up on the site now for our users. So go over there, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, enjoy a long Memorial Day weekend. Baseball, burgers, brats, whatever that is you're planning, beer, whatever you plan on doing. I plan on doing all of it. But enjoy the weekend. Talk to you again next week.
All right, buddy. Peace.